Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
Bonge.
Hey,
girl. Hey. I can't believe I just started that with Bonge. I'm so sorry. I just momentarily forgot what we were doing.
You are single-handedly ruining the French language.
I know. So it's what me and Ellie say to each other sometimes. Bonge. Instead of bonjour. I said it to Caroline the other day and she was like,
what? So they don't shorten it down to bonge in France.
No, of course not. But like, if you say like, they say bon app, like bon après-midi, bon app.
Okay.
That's sometimes, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, French people.
Any French listeners out there, French speakers, let us know if we are correct or not.
Yeah. Anyway.
How are you?
Yeah, fine. A bit stressed. But what else is new? We're also like, guys, we have actually recorded like 3 episodes and they've just all gone wrong. So we can only apologize for the hiatus, but like, we've got full-time jobs and
yeah,
we just didn't get an episode out.
It's been quite busy. I had like 2 weddings and a move, and we've also had like a office move as well. So it's been pretty busy for the most part.
Yeah.
It's what happens sometimes. And then we did actually try to be good and record and get ahead of ourselves and record a few episodes in advance, but we've had a lot of technical difficulties doing so.
We've recorded an episode on Olive by Emma Gannon 3 times. So that book hates us.
It's our Such a Fun Age.
Yeah, it happened when we did Such a Fun Age. It's just a bit of a cycle. And also, you know what? Mercury's in retrograde. That's why.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Didn't think. No, I'm not here for that. I feel like we need like is there like an app or like a notification you can set? So every time Mercury is in retrograde, you know. So you plan.
You know that your life is falling apart because of that.
I can plan for when my life will fall apart and work around.
Just like, hold tight, guys. You'll be all right.
Sorry guys, Mercury is in retrograde. I can't right now.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Anyway. We've both been watching Squid Game as well, which obviously took up an ample amount of our time. We actually watched some episodes together. By the way, Ellie's really funny when she gets scared when she's watching something. Just saying.
I literally cannot. I just can't do intense. Like, I don't watch horror movies. And I like thrillers, but honestly, it takes a lot. It takes a lot out of me to watch them. It just does.
It's because you're the most dramatic person I've ever met in my life. I thought I was dramatic before I met you.
But Squid Game is obviously just brilliant. As you would know, as people have found out today, it is Netflix's number one program. So it's beat Bridgerton by a lot. I think it's like 111 million views off the 82 from Bridgerton, which is just insane, especially mental. For a non-English speaking program. Like,
yeah.
Which just goes to prove, like, that it doesn't need to be English speaking for something to be successful. Like, that can translate across the world, especially when you look at the subject matter and the content of the program, given it's, you know, it's told in a very graphic, violent way, like in a plot dynamics and thought-provoking pieces around like socioeconomic factors for like the poorer members of like society and like debt, which is something that affects a lot of people and people don't speak about enough, like especially when you look at like Sung Woo's character and his storyline about how he did actually take his life in the end, but like because of debt, and lots of men that sort of take their lives because of it, and then it's just so deep and thought-provoking. Then I would direct you to like Heavy Spoilers, Screen Rant, New Rock Stars. They completely, if you're into like breaking down TV plots and film plots and stuff like that, they completely break down all the hidden details in that, because there's so much that's part of it. And I think it's like an excellent, it's an excellent piece of visual storytelling, I would say. It's very good.
Yeah.
So
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good until I'm not going to lie, I didn't really love the ending. I won't say the ending. I won't actually spoil that for anyone. I know we do know spoilers at book club, but it's not a book, so I won't spoil it. But I wasn't overwhelmed by the last episode. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely very interesting. The middle episodes, what, like 5, 6, 7?
Yeah.
Intense. Those games, marbles.
Yeah.
What was the one in the middle?
It's almost like you lose some of the characters and then you like it, almost like you almost miss them. You're like, oh, yeah, I don't know. It's
very, and also there's lots of foreshadowing in episode 2.
Yeah,
which comes to life at the end. And it's just very good. I would highly recommend it, if you've got a strong stomach for blood and gore.
Yeah, it's not that bad though. Like, I'm actually really bad at watching like jumpy stuff and like scary, it's not scary, but like intense stuff. I'm actually really bad at it, but I think the subtitles help because you're focusing on the subtitles.
Yeah. A lot of the meaning is missed in the translation of the subtitles, that they weren't translated well enough, which is
I would like to speak to someone that speaks Korean actually, because the thing is with subtitles, so like we did some stuff at uni about subtitles, and actually sometimes really, really hard because they have to shorten everything because you can't read as fast as you speak, basically.
Yeah.
So maybe that's got part something to do with it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they change them at all.
So how also, do you know what they're saying succinctly enough to convey the meaning?
Yeah. Also, my boyfriend watched it dubbed. I'm not sure why. Because normally he watches stuff with subtitles. Yeah. But
that was not, no shade to anyone that watches things dubbed at all. Sorry.
I think we were talking about it and he was like, I kind of wish I'd watched it with subtitles. I think you should watch it with subtitles.
Yeah.
I think it's better with subtitles.
Yeah. I find subtitles hard to watch. Not subtitles, dubbing hard to watch because.
Me too. Yeah.
I can't.
But I guess if you like, some people find subtitles really hard to keep up with, don't they? So.
Yeah. Takes a little bit longer to adjust to, but
once you've watched like one episode of subtitles, you're like, oh, this is easy.
Also, like all of them are really hot. All of the titular characters are so good looking. Oh damn, when they do all their like promos and advertising, like promo shots, I was just like, oh, this cast is good looking.
The one of the main characters, I don't know what her name is. I'm terrible with celebrities' names, but she's in Vogue next month.
Did you see? Right, so Vogue, so she was a fashion model before. She's got like her Instagram account is like through the roof now. But she was on Vogue in Vogue's YouTube channel 4 years ago doing her like makeup routine, her skincare routine, and someone in the social media team had the savvy to go in and re-update the title, so it said Squid Games, I've forgotten her name, she goes through her makeup routine, and now that video has like millions of views because of it. But if you read the
captions, one of those people is in search, that's definitely one of them is a search marketing professional.
Good.
100%.
I was like, well done. They didn't update the caption, but the video. Well,
yeah, clever.
Clever.
I think social media's had a lot to do with its success. Like we were saying, weren't we? There's loads of TikToks. Like people are using the sound on TikTok. People are using the hashtag on TikTok. Then there's all the memes on Twitter, which get stolen for Instagram. But do you know what? I love it when people send me stuff on Instagram that's been from Twitter, and I'm like, I saw that on Twitter like 3 days ago.
But thank you.
Yeah.
Like, put out the middleman and get on Twitter. Because let's frankly, that Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram outage last week, everyone migrated from all of those platforms to check Twitter to see if they were down, and then stayed on Twitter until they came back online again.
Always the way. But yeah. But yeah, so Squid Game, watch it. I'm sure you probably all have because whole world's watched it. Well, almost. Actually, last episode, we talked about getting out of a reading rut. And, like, we touched upon it because Ellie, our lovely Ellie here, has been in a little bit of a reading rut.
Still in it.
Which happens to us all. I did some research on how to get out of a reading rut. Because I was like, I gave some very unsolicited advice to Ellie in the last episode. And I thought I'd look at what other people's advice is in case anybody wanted some just before we start this episode. I say start this episode, we're already only 10 minutes into it. So here's what I found from my extensive research, aka three different articles. So the first thing is try an audiobook, which I thought was actually quite solid advice, and that is something you do, isn't it?
I do audiobook. I have an audiobook for a little while now. I actually paused the membership because I wasn't using it enough. But The last thing I downloaded was Matthew McConaughey's, autobiography? I can't remember. But I listened to the first couple of minutes and honestly, it had me hooked. I just don't commute enough now. Actually, maybe I'll listen to it tomorrow. Because actually, I do like to listen to things when I'm working. So that is on my list to listen to. But I haven't done that in a little while.
Yeah. See, I don't love an audiobook, so I'm not sure that would work for me. But I guess it would work for people that like dip in and out or that have never dipped in at all and they want to try. So that's number one. That was like literally number one on the list, which I thought...
So it's not cheating because you actually devote hours to listening.
No, of course it's not cheating.
You know how some people are like, oh,
Those people can bore off. You're still consuming a book.
Yeah, you devote hours to listening to that. It tells you exactly how many.
You're still as long as it's not an abridged version, because I feel like that is cheating because that's just like looking up Stark notes. But if it's like, if it's the full novel, then it's not cheating.
Help you get through stuff. So when we were reading The Nickel Boys, which I didn't finish, I was going between reading and listening. Like that to read is quite hard. Sometimes it might be easier to be subjected to it by listening because you can't escape it and I'm on the tube and I don't want to look like an idiot. As opposed to putting it down and never picking it up again. So yeah, anyway.
Okay. Well, there you go. So the next bit of advice is read your favourite book again, which I feel like if you're in a reading rut, you don't want to read something you know what happens. You're not going to continue. But yeah, I mean, maybe for people that reread books frequently, that might be a good idea. But I was like a bit like, So yeah.
I agree with you. That's a no for me.
I don't think I'd be able to do it to get out of a rut. Maybe if I'm on holiday or something. I don't know. But yeah. And then the next one was read a book that inspired your favourite authors, which I thought was quite cool. So like, for example, looking at Britt Bennett's inspiration for The Vanishing Half might be quite a cool thing to do. Or that's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, because I know that you read some of that anyway, like The Black of the Berry, didn't you?
Yeah, I read The Black of the Berry. Passing is the main one, I think, which they've turned into a Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, with Tessa Thompson and, the woman that was in that. There was a film where it was based on the first couple to be like have an interracial marriage that was acknowledged by the law. And In passing, I don't know if I could, it's a classic though, you know what I'm like.
Don't think of it like a classic. But yeah, so that could be a shout.
I like that. It's a good idea.
Then there was a few things that like talking to your pals and asking for recommendations and stuff. And I was like, actually, that does sometimes if you and I have just had general chit chat about books off the podcast, because by the way, guys, we're obsessed. That's what we do. That's why we started the podcast, because all we do is talk about books. and Twitter. But yeah, I thought that always makes me want to go home and read. Like if we're like just chatting and like, oh, have you read this? Oh, have you read this? Oh, have you read this? And you're like, oh, I need to go home and read something. So I reckon that's a good one. And the same, join a book club does the same thing. And it makes you read the book because you're like, well, unless you're early and you don't finish it for the book club.
I haven't missed it. I've been really bad actually. But I think a book club holds you to account. So it's a nice idea.
Yeah. I think like, so we're reading quiet at the moment for like another book club. Because, you know, being part of more than one book club is totally the right thing to do. And like, I haven't got that far. So like tonight I'm going to read it because I don't want to go to the book club not having read that much. So yeah. And then carve out reading time for yourself, which is what we discussed really, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Jack Edwards did a really cool, he's a booktuber. I'm sure all of you know who he is because he's got quite a big following. He did a really cool video where he dedicated all of the hours that he spent on his phone to reading.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he did it by day or by all the hours in the week that he spent. He then dedicated to reading the following week, and he showed us like all the books that he'd read, which I thought was really cool. I mean, that's a pretty extreme way of doing it. But was it you that said to me, like 5 pages, even that as a goal, or carving out like 20 minutes or?
Yeah. Yeah, like 10 pages before you go to sleep or 10 pages when you wake up or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a habit. I do fully think that reading is a habit for most people. So, yeah. And then
kind of crap. Like I think reading's a fallout of when your routine changes.
Yeah, it's like exercise, isn't it? Like once it's in your routine and you're and it's a habit, then you do it. But like if you're like me, anything can make me stop exercising. Nah, I'm quite good at doing my yoga.
To exercising as you are to books as in, or as you are to exercising as in, I find that easy to work into my schedule, but reading this not so much, whereas like maybe all the way around for you. Yeah
I think it is, you know, because I like get up and like this like most mornings I'll get up, make a coffee, get back into bed and read.
Right.
Well, it's like a lot of people get up and exercise, but I prefer to exercise. The thing is, the time that I prefer to exercise either at lunchtime or after work, and stuff always gets in the way because like plans happen, or like you work late, or like you don't want, you work for your lunch or whatever, or like you need to do something else at lunchtime, like go to the shop. So like definitely exercising before work is definitely the easiest time to do that.
Yeah.
Whereas with reading, you can still read. Say your time to read is before bed. Well, you're always going to go to bed at night, aren't you? So,
I exercise before work. And ideally, I would read a book and then exercise. But I don't want to get up early enough to do both. So it's quite good. But, yeah.
But you could, Ellie, you could literally get up 10 minutes earlier and read for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And then I always think, oh, but 10 minutes is not long enough to read. I just need to let that go. Because if you have 10 minutes, that's enough.
Tiny habits. Yeah. You just watch tiny. It's like what they're talking about in that talk we went to today.
With Holly tiny habits.
Yes. But yeah, and then the last one. There were some more, but I picked the best ones because I don't want to bang on about it for ages. Is read a short book, which actually I agree with because the satisfaction of reading of finishing a book, you're like, oh, let's start the next one.
Have you got any short books to read?
Well, you've lent me The Black of the Berry, which is quite short.
Yes.
And my dad lent me a book called The Fifth Risk, which is all about Trump's America. That's quite short.
Yes. I didn't realize
that's short. Reasonably short. Yeah. It's not like super short, but it's quite, it's like relatively short. So I need to read that actually. I really want to. My dad said that he found it really difficult to read when Trump was in power, but now that he's not, it's a lot easier.
Is it angry all the time?
I think maybe I need to like not be angry. I need to be in a zen environment to read it. But yeah. So have you got any short books?
I had Michaela Cole's Misfits.
Oh, yeah.
That Matter. Not Book That Matter.
Book Bar.
Book Bar, my God. That picture when we went. If you've been on our socials, you would have seen. We posted about our time there. Not properly, just maybe some stories and like a picture before we went out. We'll probably post some more. But yeah, I've got that. It's quite short. I love Michaela Cole. I think that she's a fantastic writer. I think she's another person that can visually tell an amazing story. Like Kath is just watch them. I May Destroy You recently.
So good. So good. I've actually not finished it. I'm on episode like 8 or something. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading that. There's this in the first few pages, she talks about moths and how they incessantly flutter and annoys her. And I've never been so on the same page as someone because I hate moths. Why do they flutter so much? There is no need. Absolutely no need.
I reckon that's your perfect book to get you out of the slump, you know.
Yeah, it is. I think I'll do that and then quiet. Because when I looked on my Goodreads today, I am like 3 behind. And now I can't look at that anymore as a goal because it's just going to stress me out.
No, don't stress. That's another bit that I didn't write on my list. But it was like, don't put pressure on yourself, which is obviously such an annoying bit of advice. Because it's like, yes, but I have put pressure on myself. but seriously, like, it's fine. It's not that deep. Like, you still read loads. And like, you've watched a lot more series than I have. This is the thing, right? I've got a massive cultural gap in my knowledge because I don't watch enough TV.
Also, I think things in comparison to last year, we're so much more social now. We're out and about. And I think that shift, I don't think I've probably managed as well.
Also, it's been the summer. Like, we're just going into autumn now. Well, we're fully in autumn now. But you personally tend to socialize less in the winter. You'll get there. We all get there. I'm in a bit of a slump myself, to be honest. But just keep starting books and not finishing them.
Read notifications. Kath's finished all these books when you finally got through them all. Ding, 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 ding.
I know. I'm going away for a few days next week. So I'm hoping to I'm going with my mom. It's going to be really cute. So I'm just going to read. I'm just going to take my books and nothing else. Like, nobody contact me. I actually might turn my phone off.
Do it.
I think I need, I've never actually done that, been properly off the grid. So
nice feeling.
But yeah, so actually, there are a few, I think also, reading an easy, nice, light-hearted read is quite a good one to do. And we're actually going to talk about a book like that today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about The Switch by Beth O'Leary, which is just a lovely, charming, sweet book. And it's about when you're in a bit of a rut, so relatable to reading ruts and life ruts. So yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Can I just add really quickly? When I was in the reading rut, she gave me a Jackie Collins book to read. All the Hollywood Wives. Sometimes you just need a trashy read.
You absolutely do. Jackie Collins or Beth O'Leary?
I was like, yes, mum. I didn't bring it with me though when I moved. I think it's back at my mum's, so I'll have to go dig it out. But yeah. I just needed to get that in there. My mum likes kind of books though. She likes Mills. Is it Mills and Boone?
I like a trashy novel.
Yeah.
I don't think she would call trashy because I think we'd have a different word. I don't know.
Good. I've read a few. When I've been in a rut, I actually have read a few books like that and I've enjoyed them because they're easy and they don't require that much thought.
They're beet reads, aren't they?
Yeah. You need
Yeah, definitely. I've got a couple actually that my friend lent me that look like they're proper romance, glittery cover kind of vibe, but they look really cool.
I'm sad my mum got rid of all of hers. We had a massive clear out of her house and it was she got rid of all of those types. So I was like, why, mum? Yeah. I used to ordering her bookshelf with them all on. So they were like having colour order, number order. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the Switch because it is a charming book. We should
all
read. That deal actually with some difficult themes. Mm-hmm. Some challenging themes, I guess, like loneliness.
Yeah. I think loneliness is probably the key theme.
Yes.
One of.
Mm-hmm. Because it inhabits all the characters in very different ways, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's quite interesting because I think, like, often people think, like, old people are really lonely. But actually, you can... something I really liked about the book is, like, you can live, like, in London, around loads of people all the time and still feel a little bit lonely, which actually is really common, I think, mm-hmm. especially among, like, our generation. It can get quite lonely.
City living does that to you, doesn't it? Encourages loneliness.
Yeah. I quite liked that. It's about, basically, what it's about is there's two characters, granddaughter and the grandmother. And the granddaughter lives in what, like Shoreditch or something in London. Yeah. And the grandmother lives in up north in the countryside. And they, like, basically, the granddaughter has a bit of a breakdown at work. She's basically been through, like, a really stressful time. Like, her sister died, like, all this stuff, like, really awful stuff. And she just can't cope anymore. And she has a bit of a breakdown. And then they sign her off work and they're like, you're not allowed to work. Like, you need to go and, like, rest.
You're not allowed to work. No, like, yeah. Oh, but I'm just peeping this email. It's like, no.
I think they, like, fully take, yeah, they, like, take her laptop off her and stuff. And so she goes to her grandma's and then her grandma comes to London because her grandma's lonely and, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's the catalyst. The passing of her sister is the catalyst for the story because, again, loneliness. I think each one of the characters in this family dealing with the grief or grieving in very different ways. So where Lena throws herself into work and then gets into a bit of a rut, Eileen is also dealing with the girl's mother and her sort of like depression. Is she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
And so yeah. Lives. And they're both called Eileen, but Lena is like her name, as in like her shortened name for, or her nickname. Because Lena's for Eileen, which I thought was really cute.
It is really cute. It's a nice, like, grandmother granddaughter relationship.
Yes.
Dynamic. Like, the relationship dynamic. Actually, I think Beth O'Leary in general, her relationship dynamics, I really like. Like, they're kind of a softened version of, like, Sally Rooney's relationship dynamic type. Like, they're the kind of books where, like, you get really into the characters. Like, do you know what I mean? But not in the same way as Sally Rooney, but I'm just thinking of another example where, like, the books are very much about the characters.
The plot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although there's some hijinks in this book, like Lena has to take on Eileen's duties. Eileen's like the big name on campus in her town. She's like the person that brings everyone together. And so Lena takes on those like activities for her gran, and obviously like chaos ensues, and then what aspects of Lena's life does Eileen take on?
So she goes and lives in her flat, doesn't she? And she goes and lives in the flat, and then she basically meets all these people who are really lonely in this like block of flats, and she like makes like a group and they all meet up. It's really sweet. And then she also like goes, they swap phones as well. So she's got a smartphone all of a sudden and she goes on dating apps and stuff like that. It's really funny. I can't imagine my grandma going, I mean, my grandma's 98, so like a bit different, but but yeah.
But they touch on that that Eileen gets taken advantage of by some sort of like, you know, those horrible people that sort of scam older women or older men for money because that's nasty. And so they sort of touch on that storyline, which I thought was really good because look out for your older parents, your older the other people in your life that are on these apps, because unfortunately there are people out there that are willing to make quick money out of them and take advantage of the fact that they are lonely and looking for love or looking for companionship. And the older people in your life may not be as savvy to technology as we are, having grown up with it, having been born with it. But I'm constantly telling my mum to avoid phishing scams, like in the texts that she gets and stuff like that. So
it's really hard because like some of them are really believable. Yes. Like I've almost been caught a couple of times. My friend actually got caught on a PayPal one because she literally just bought something on PayPal. And then as soon as she did it, she was like, oh, fuck.
I got, you know what, they're actually like leaving voicemails now. I got like a fake Amazon one the other day.
Really?
And it left a voicemail. And I was like, these fuckers. It just annoys me because it's like you call at really inconvenient times, whoever these people are, and then you leave voicemails or you spam my number. It's just, but you can easily get caught out like your friend did with having paid something and you're not thinking.
Yeah. There's
also a storyline happening in Coronation Street at the moment. You know how I like Coronation Street. Alia wasn't thinking and she sent some money to someone who said that something had happened to her bank account, and and she's like our age and she's like, oh my god. But anyway, I digress. I like the idea of them sort of touching on that slightly. She does eventually find someone that is a good companion for her, which is actually really nice. I like that way that Beth O'Leary weaved that in.
Yeah,
he was already on her doorstep.
Yeah, which is really sweet. Like, she doesn't need to go to the big city to, like, live her best life. Like, sometimes you just need to change your environment. Like, it doesn't matter what that is. And I like, the parallels between, like, they're both kind of sick of their lives a little bit. Like, and they both need a break. But they're, like, literally opposite. Like, I think Eileen's 79 and Lena's in her 20s. Mm. Like, opposite ends of life, but have, like, similar things they need to work through, and then they just go and switch, and they literally switch the switch, and then they live their best lives. Oh, I kind of want to reread it, you know.
That's a book you can reread to get out of your rut.
There you go.
It's cool though, because then Lena realizes that when she's through those activities, like the idea of community, that and Eileen takes that idea of community and she instills it in the block in which Lena lives. Also, she finds out that Lena's boyfriend's a two-timing piece of crap through the phones that happened, because they swapped that. I don't quite, because he basically is the kind of guy that's just like, oh, like you're overreacting, or oh, you need to, what did he do,
which is like fully like gaslighting her, like he's basically like
He wasn't a very good boyfriend, and I don't know whether he was like, oh, he was supposed to come up and visit and he never did, and then when he did do it he came and left again, or something stupid like that. Like,
you know, it's really as soon as things got hard he was like, nah.
Oh, because they have that whole big gun, so he has that whole little bit of mano thing with the school teacher, doesn't he, when they put Lena has this boyfriend that's really rubbish and he's all about himself, but actually he's cheating on Lena, which you learn through Eileen, and he's just very dismissive of her, and he's just like, hurry up and get back to London, all that kind of stuff. He's just not a very good boyfriend. When Lena goes up to Yorkshire, because this is set in Yorkshire, right? I'm gonna say Yorkshire.
Yeah, I think so.
There's this teacher that she has like a thing with, like there's a vibe, there's an energy.
I don't know, we never really got to the bottom of that.
We couldn't remember if they'd already known each other or they grew up in the same town or something, and then there was like that sort of like old town rivalry, or they had just met in the town there. But I feel like they might have had a little bit of history of knowing each other.
I just feel like that's just lovely, from the little hopeless romantic in me. I love a little romantic story. I'm such a sucker for oh my god, my friend got engaged yesterday, and I was literally like, oh my god, I was absolutely buzzing the whole time. I was like, how did you do it? Because he proposed to her, and I was like, how did you do it? Like, tell me everything, send me a picture of the ring, I need to know everything. And then I was just like, he was texting me and I was on the phone to Tom, and I was just like squealing the whole time because I was such an idiot. Oh yeah, my hope was romantic. Well, I'm not ashamed. I love it.
Good. No, someone has to be.
Exactly. Tell me your romantic stories. I'll squeal. I'll get excited for you.
And it happens really nicely in this book. There's like Lena and I forget the guy's name. We always do this. This is really bad.
We always forget characters' names. We're so terrible.
So bad. It's been a while, and I don't actually have the book with me to check, but. It's nice that they build a really lovely, they build a friendship, don't they? He helps her out a lot. She walks the dog and she loses him. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Do you know what that really stressed me out? Because I have looked after people's dogs before and it's really stressful. Like, it's really stressful. I'm not exactly a dog person, to be honest. I did it for a favour. But like, oh my God, I thought the dog was going to run away. Like, they were like, yeah, just let it off the lead. And I was like, no. No. This dog is staying where I can see it.
When we used to look after Stephen's dog, I remember taking Stephen as my landlord from way back when, and we used to have to look after his dog when he went to Hungary. And I remember Cujo came off the lead. I'm admitting this now. I don't think I can even tell Tari this, but like Cujo came off the lead and he ran across the road and he was just running away from me. I was like, Cujo, come back, Cujo. And he's just like, ah, fuck this shit. I came off the lead, bitch. He's just running around West Ryde. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to get him back. What if a car like hits him? And he didn't
have
that. But that is the, it's not nice. It's really not nice. Especially when it's
so stressful.
Especially when it's not your own dog. And then Eileen has a little love thing. Like, we touched on the online dating, but actually, she connects with, and I don't remember how it happens, but the guy in town that she's always like, oh, he's miserable, I can't be arsed with him, is the guy that her pen pal some way, or they meet on the dating app, but it's actually the guy that she, did she meet on the dating app? It's the guy from her hometown, basically, who likes her, but she doesn't give him the time of day, and then she realises that actually, he's a good guy. Yeah.
It's a classic rom-com story, isn't it? Like,
is it? Yeah.
You go away and you don't, like, you're like, nah, he's just a mate, or I don't like him, he's the enemy, whatever. And then you realise he's a lovely man. And, oh, so cute. So cute. I love as well that, like, the romance wasn't just for Lena.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't just for the young person. It was for, like, everyone. You know?
Exactly. And the family do eventually sort of get it together in terms of building the relationship, because and it happens a lot when people have when they're grieving, families can break down as people are grieving. They don't align on stuff, and so it was interesting for them to explore that, in a way, that relationship between the motherly dynamics, because I guess Lena saw Eileen more as a mother in those moments, in those last parts. And I think Lena places a lot of the blame on her mother for not telling her earlier or soon enough that her sister was dying. But I guess her mum had done that to protect her because she wanted her to live a life. Or her mother, maybe her sister told her not to tell Lena how bad it was, or something like that.
Yeah, the dynamics between the family in like those circumstances, like, are explored quite well, I think, in this book.
Yeah.
And it adds like an extra layer to the book. Like, it's not just about these people that switch lives. Like, it's like all about the family dynamic and how they like work through that. Like, they all like work on themselves in order to work to get, like, they all individually work on themselves and then sort of come together.
And it's like
at the end,
it's like you said at the beginning, they needed to switch lives or to sort of get out of the rut that they were all in.
Yeah.
There's no way that they could have done that on their own. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't have a book either, but It took for that to happen, for them to be able to.
Yeah. I do think sometimes you do just need a break. Like, you just need to, like, step away from your life and just be like, okay, what's important to me? What do I want? Like, gonna go off grid for the weekend and figure it out, kind of thing. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do next week. Gonna go off grid.
Off the grid.
Yeah. Maybe. I probably won't. I know.
I saw Taru. So I mentioned her twice already. She was on our bonus episode.
Listen.
If you haven't listened to it, go listen. I saw her on the weekend. We went to go get a roast and she was just like, oh, you've been so hard to track down. I was almost going to message Kath.
That is so funny. Oh my God. That is really funny. Because basically Ellie replies to me and nobody else because I'm special.
Sorry guys, it's bad because my best friend's out in Dallas and I literally haven't texted her back and it's been a few weeks, so I need to
know. But you know what, it happens. Yeah. Like, I have got 12 unread messages on WhatsApp right now that I need to get to, but
blaming the outage.
Yeah, sure,
buried.
It does happen though, like, life is busy, you know. And I basically just spend all your time replying to me, so.
Yeah, where am I going to find the time when I'm busy running a podcast and just being good gals with Kath?
Sauce guys. Also, though, like, I do actually talk to you more than I talk to absolutely anybody else in my life.
That includes Tom, her boyfriend. Sorry, Tom.
Yeah.
Love you, Tom.
He knows, though. He knows. He knows that he's secondary.
Your boyfriend, but like, you're like my wife.
Exactly. So next level.
Knew he had to share.
Oh dear.
You know how we were talking about romantic tropes in like chicklets like this?
Yeah.
Well, it's so transferable that they're actually making this into a film.
Are they?
With an actress called Rachel Brosnahan. But I think she's American. So.
She better have a good British accent. That's all I'm saying.
Didn't they not drag? I don't want to say drag, but didn't like Anne Hathaway get some critique for hers with One Day?
Yeah, I think so. Also, can't they, like, sorry, but that's fine. If she's going to deliver, then that's cool. But like, when they ruin British books, like, sorry, Girl on the Train. They set it in America. The book doesn't work. Like, the whole point of that book, right, is that she's seeing the gardens on the train, and that is such a... I can visualise that, sitting on a train in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, that is... You literally go past people's gardens. Like, that is literally what happens. They can't translate that to the States. It's not the same.
It's not. I'm sorry to any of our listeners in the States, but it's not. There's a whole thing about commuter culture and the commuter belt in England, especially going to London, that's the essence of that book. And
I can imagine Paula Hawkins sat on the train thinking of that story. I bet you anything she was a commuter and that's how she got to that story.
Yeah. And so, like, what I love about this is it nicely... I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? The difference between London and the Dales and stuff like that. So if it is going to be set in America, then I need that contrast between, like, I need that contrast between city living and the countryside to be done very well. But also, I kind of want to see this in an English setting in the same way that we saw Me Before You. Is it Me Before You?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can do English films. Come on, guys. Notting Hill, Four Weddings.
But just because it's an American actor doesn't mean, like, hopefully it will still be. Because I feel like this is similar. Like, yeah, like what you said, like, we need to see Yorkshire and London. Like, we need that contrast. And we need, like, the British, like, village. Like, it's a very, like, specific thing that it describes, like the village halls and like the village like committees, is very like very funny because it's very true and we need that. So hopefully it delivers. When's it going to be released?
I
don't know. So the article was May 2020.
Okay.
Becca Bowling is adapting the screenplay for The Switch, which is set at Steven Spielberg's Amblin Partners. So we'll see how they decide to translate it. I'm not saying that it can't be done, because look at what's that film called? That book and that film. Not film, TV series. The one by Leanne Moriarty? Big Little.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's Australian, isn't it? And then they did that on the West Coast. They did that along like Monterey and stuff like that in California, which actually thought worked very well. So
yeah, it can be, you're right. That's a good counter argument to propose there. But I just think specifically the Girl on the Train is very disappointing, because it's such an excellent book as well. She's got a new one out, hasn't she?
Oh yes, I saw that. Maybe we'll do it, guys.
Yeah, let's actually. Do you know what? That's a bloody hardback, isn't it? So
we might
see you guys when it comes out in paperback.
We might put a poll out there on some sort of. We might try the Spotify poll Q&A thing. We might try it on Twitter or Instagram.
Ooh.
I don't know. And let us know if you want us to do Paula Dworkin's.
Yeah. Let us know what you want to see. We will deliver.
Yes, honey.
But yeah, good chat.
Hopefully this episode will come to you soon.
Pray for us.
Please pray for us.
If it doesn't, then you won't get an episode, because I'm going on all day. I will actually throw my computer out the window.
We'll provide content to you guys in some other way, for sure. If we can't get the episode up, it might just
we'll be tapping away on our laptops.
Yeah, we'll do some writing for you guys instead. But we just know there will be some content for you.
We got you.
We're saying this could actually be out, in which case.
If it is, then can you congratulate us? We would like a pat on the back.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know that you heard it. Congratulate us.
Yeah, please.
We need it.
I can't believe how many hours we've spent recording and it hasn't gone, and we've just listened to the recording and we're like, great, well, that doesn't work. As in, like, guys, tech stuff, not because we can't talk to each other. It's a different tech thing goes wrong every time. And I don't understand how we've literally done 15 episodes of this now, and we do the same setup every single time. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
I think it's just like, sometimes it's like, we don't like this episode, so we're going to make it as hard as possible. Like, Such a Fun Age was another one where we really struggled to get that episode out. It took a lot of attempts. And Olive is another one. It's in that basket of shit. Where it's like, the universe doesn't want us to do it, but we will. We will succeed.
We will. We shall. But yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go. What am I going to have for dinner? Don't know. What are you going to have for dinner? Give me some inspo, please.
I am making a vegan chili.
I rate that for you.
And then I'm going to make a veggie Thai green curry. So bulk cooking tonight.
That sounds very productive. I don't have any ingredients to do any of those things. So. And it's dark and cold, so I'm not going to the shop. I went into Sainsbury's early and I just walked out again. I was like, I don't know what I need. So, thing is, I don't want to buy loads of food because I'm going away. So I'm like, might have egg fried rice or something.
Oh, yum. I saw a really nice recipe for, was it? I can't say it. The Vietnamese, not pho. Pho? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I know what you mean, but I don't know how to say it.
I think people would think it's pho, but it's not. It's pho, I think. I've got that wrong, so please correct me again. But Marion, I've forgotten her name, Marion
something. She's got a cooking YouTube video channel. Absolutely love her. She cooks lots of different Asian cuisine.
Right.
She's like half Thai, half Australian. But she can cook across Asia. She's very good. I've done a few of her bits before, and she's got like a quick and easy one where you don't have to spend like 12 hours making the broth. So I'm going to try that next week.
Awesome.
I'm going to buy some steak and put it in the freezer and then thinly slice it so I can pour my broth onto it. Yeah.
This sounds elite. Can I come over for dinner?
Of course, you're welcome anytime.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, no, now that you see my house, you're like, I'm coming over.
Ellie lives in a lovely place, a lovely, lovely place, and she has a lovely blue door. There's lots of blue doors, so that doesn't give anything away, but feel free to come out.
They're
going to go around. I was like,
every blue door in London. Every blue door in London.
Yeah. Anyway, love you.
Love you. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye. And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.